This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Five touchdown passes for Lamar.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
10-5 touchdown. Kyler Murray, a 44-yard touchdown run as soon as he got past the defender. That was all she wrote.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Still to come, host of Glory Days podcast, Johnny Manziel. BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff. Actor Nick Turturro. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Johnny Manziel, I don't think he's ever been on this show.
Fact. Never been on.
Well, that's about to change.
Love it.
Yeah. Johnny Manziel is going to join us here on the program.
Man,
so we'll follow up Johnny Football with Jakey Football? I don't know. Jake Retzlaff, the BYU quarterback.
They're playing nice.
Hey,
man.
Listen, if there is a Jewish quarterback at BYU, I need to chat with him.
I think that's a rule.
It just feels right.
That's the way it is. If you're a Jewish and you play at BYU and you're 7-0 and you're ranked 11th in the country and you just beat Oklahoma State with a touchdown pass with 10 seconds left, you're on the Rich Eisen Show.
So, Rich, is that limited to BYU? Tough. Is it limited to just quarterbacks?
Well, I just think the fact that there is apparently only three Jewish people on the campus at BYU, and one of them is the starting quarterback of the 7-0 team that's ranked 11th in the country, that's what we call an outlier.
True that. An anomaly.
What ends up happening is he comes on this show because it's beshert. Now, that's a word that means meant to be.
Beshert.
It's beshert.
Beshert.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
So
learn something new every day.
Beshirt. Yes, indeed. There you go. You on this show is beshirt.
Beshirt, yes.
Destiny or inevitable.
That's correct. So
the Cowboys.
Thank you.
The Cowboys making me mad this weekend.
Did you beshirt? Did you go to the Yiddish to English dictionary right there, Chris? Is that what
I just
did?
I just Googled that up. Thanks to the Google AI.
And you always say how slow he is at Google, but he got that pretty quick.
That is a vast and gross mischaracterization.
I'm just saying what he says.
Vast and gross. Also, sometimes means accurate.
I mean, you know.
Very good.
Wow. I can't say what.
There was another Monday Night Football game on Monday night. I don't like these two at a time.
Speaking of gross.
I don't like the two at a time.
Why?
Why? Because Monday night's special. It's the one sit-down.
It's so special. The NFL has made those not special anymore. There's football literally on every day of the week this year.
I don't know, man.
It's not special anymore. We just have games.
Although
Chargers, and we enjoy them.
Chargers Cardinals was an old school Monday Night Football start time of 9 o'clock Eastern. Man. Remember those?
That's what it used to be. 9:20. They were 9:20 in the back of the day.
I mean, could you imagine?
No. Yeah,
that's when they used to start them.
Well, I barely made it to halftime. Barely made it to halftime.
My brother and I always stayed up for the halftime highlights with Howard Cosell, and we got so upset when the Jets weren't on it. We're like, come on, man. My brother was like, the Jets just had one of their best wins, and we couldn't even get on the Howard Cosell highlight reel.
He wants Dan Klecko highlights, right?
Oh, and by the way, when you know, Chris Berman does his fastest 2 minutes, mm-hmm. that is an homage to Howard Cosell doing the halftime highlights. Roger Staubach throwing that pass. At any rate, game started at 9. I just don't like the two at a time. Although, and I have spoken to people who technically I report to. I'm not talking about the RG1, but I've spoken to executives in the National Football League who dig this because they want to have a second game if the first one is out of hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so, and last night it kind of got a little out of hand
for sure
in Tampa. It's just that we were seeing two offensives somewhat challenged, and Arizona, man, I had them as my NFC sleeper team this year. I guess you could have considered Washington that team being more successful. I don't think a lot of people thought Washington would be in first place. Cardinals are in second place right now. Although I just went higher register. They're 3-4. The reason why they're in first place over the 3-4 Niners is because they won in Santa Clara a couple weeks ago. Kyler Murray getting a 44-yard rush that really flipped the field in an important time in the fourth quarter. It was a big moment against this Chargers defense that kind of got gashed on the ground in a way that you don't see. 101 yards for James Conner.
Yeah, Conner was a beast.
Who had forced 10 missed tackles last night. The Chargers couldn't put him down on the ground, including that crucial part of the game in the fourth quarter last night and the final drive when Conner got the Cardinals in field goal range for Chris Brockman's favorite kicker of all time, Chad Ryland, from the Patriot days, the man who helped make Bill Belichick a winner for the final time in his Patriot career.
Here's the thing. He had a 30-yarder to win it. You were on bated breath. You were on the edge of your
Look
seat because you didn't know if he was going to make it or not.
You know? And
Chad Ryland.
As for the Chargers, you know, one of the things a lot of folks were wondering, Mike Williams gone, Keenan Allen gone, you know, Austin Ekeler allowed to walk out the door. How are they going to score points this year? How are they going to get big play offense for their big armed quarterback in Justin Herbert? And as you know, I'm a gym guy more than most, and certainly forever. Jim Harbaugh forever. I'm part of that club. You know, I'm just like, let's just see how it all works out. Let's see how it all shakes out. Now, Quentin Johnston, who has been playing much better this year than he did in his rookie season, is that he, you know, he was out last night. And so, you know, this is an issue the Chargers have. It's putting points up because their defense is balling out. They're the only team in 2024 to allow 20 or fewer points in each game. And they allowed 20 or fewer points in 8 games all of last season. They've done it in 6 so far this year, but their points challenged. How about this particular stat I got from NFL Network Research? The Chargers have 15 straight drives without a touchdown.
Pooh.
I think the last one they had was that LaDede McConkey against the Chiefs?
Whoa.
I believe so. I believe I saw that one against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I was there.
Because they didn't have one against Denver.
Right.
And
they had 5 field goals last night.
Dicker the kicker with 5 field goals. 15 straight drives without a touchdown. The only team with a longer active streak in the NFL right now are the Giants.
It's almost like they should have drafted Malik Nabers.
I don't know, man. Jim loves his big-ass linemen.
Yeah, but scoring points is cool. You can't have Will Disley lead you in targets. You know what I mean? Like, guy had 11 targets. He's a tight end that not rostered in any fantasy league. You know what I mean?
But then, Chris, you look at it like, remember when it was the Bengals, whether they were going to take Sewell or Chase?
They went with Chase.
They made it to the, I mean.
Made the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
And I'll tell you, man, they could have taken over second place in the AFC West to go 4-2. That's a tough loss.
Tough loss,
you know
man.
What? If I can second guess
non-conference loss, but still.
I mean, it's a tough loss. They could have been in second place here. But they do have in their back pocket a win in Denver. That's a pretty big one in division.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't like the play call on third down right before the 2-minute warning. I thought they were going to run that ball. So if they didn't get it, it would be fourth and really short. I understand all they needed was a field goal to take a 1-point lead. But they get that first down. Then they got the Cardinals start burning timeouts. Mm-hmm. And they could have done to Arizona what Arizona did to them once they got into the field goal range at the end of the game, which is take it right down to the end and then have Dicker the kicker go ahead and win it. Instead, they threw a pass that was either a double move or the receiver wasn't on the same page as Justin Herbert, stopped his route. There was a flag thrown that they then picked up. I was concerned for Jim's ticker at that point in time because he was going almost full Schembechler there. And then, man, there was an unsportsmanlike, a roughing call on one of their defenders on Marvin Harrison Jr., who had a ball hit him in the breadbasket and he dropped it.
That was such
a
ridiculous
crazy call.
It kind of grazed his face mask, I guess, with the helmet.
I don't know about that.
His unnecessary roughness. I thought that's what replay assist is there for, is to pick up those 15-yard flags That one seemed a little cheap, but that, and that got things going for Arizona, and Arizona won it.
They couldn't run the ball. I mean, they've been running the ball great all year.
Yeah, Dobbins had his worst night of the year.
59 rush yards.
Yeah. Dobbins, you know, I mean, if Dobbins isn't going, but Herbert threw for 349 yards.
Yeah, but the idea isn't to have Herbert throw it 39 times, right? That's the whole point of Jim's offense.
40 rush yards was for Dobbins. 59 total rush yards, second fewest in the game for the Chargers this year. They had 55 in the loss to Kansas City at home.
Yeah, Chris, if they were going to throw it that much, they should have taken the receiver.
I'll just tell you this,
or get your wide receivers more involved.
Guys,
I don't know.
And then just one last thing on this.
Don't love it.
The Chiefs are as good as winning this division right now. I don't see who's going to get them. I don't see who's going to play consistent enough football. I don't see the Chiefs losing enough for Denver or the Chargers to go get got by either one of these teams. Obviously, the Raiders are out of the mix to win this division right now. I mean, Chiefs are on cruise control again in the AFC West. It just reminds me of the Patriots back in the AFC East. Who's gonna threaten them?
Yeah. The AFC West is the new AFC East,
and the Chiefs are the new Patriots.
Yeah.
So, 844-204 Rich is the number to dial right here on the program. You know what we'll do? Remember I said that Johnny Manziel is never been on this show?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That streak is still going to go.
Oh.
I've just been told he's not joining us today.
Yeah. Oh. Darn it.
Okay. I tried.
It happens.
Dude's got something new going on. I'm like, sure, I'll help him promote it, but there you have it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. I'm just sitting here. Do we take a break and come back and do Overreaction Monday and a Tuesday and then talk about Jerry Jones as well? Let's do that. We'll take a break. We'll get our ducks in a row and get our rundown back in order for hour number two right here on a Tuesday, busy Tuesday on the Rich Eisen Show. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happening. happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
Hey, this guy.
You guys want to come over tonight?
For what?
And watch the banner go up and the rings. You guys want to come on? I'll have a part. I'll cook. We'll have the big TV. Whatever you want. What are you in the mood for?
Ordering out.
Clam chowder.
What do you cook?
Anything.
What do you cook? If you have to impress somebody, like say us.
I'll speak for him,
what
Rich.
Do you cook?
Brotman throws down the main brisket for sure.
Yeah, ribs. That's the cook. The smoker's doing the work. Smoker. Oh, come on, man.
You got to marinate that joint.
I don't know. I've never been invited.
Get a marinate.
First off, not true.
Well, no, seriously. When have you said come over?
Well, he's brought me brisket here to the studio. So
he's invited me, so.
I'm busy tonight.
You're also not invited to things anymore because all you do is crap on him.
Ooh. What am I crapping on?
Like his birthday.
Literally
every
everything that I think is fun, you poop on this
like
show.
Like what? Give me an example.
Like the burger draft and my fantasy draft and anything, literally anything else.
Your burger draft, I have a problem with. Your fantasy draft, I have a problem with. And now you've come around, haven't you? You've come around, though. You have come around to what I was telling you.
All the things I think are fun.
Literally, Chris, your fantasy draft that I told you years ago, when you had a child,
this summer
would have
was
a problem
was a perfect storm of me really not wanting to go.
No, but I understand why you do your burger draft the way you do, and it's your fun thing. I just don't want to be part of anything where I can't eat what I want to eat. It's up for a random.
It doesn't matter how many times I have to explain this. Yeah. You just miss the concept of it.
I understand the concept
it's
of
fun.
It. The bottom line is that when it comes down to it, I might eat something I have no desire to eat, which is, ridiculous. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Chris Brockman has invited us over to watch the Celtics banner raise and ring ceremony.
Honestly,
tonight.
Everyone can come over, and the sound of my voice. We'll watch they get the rings, and we're gonna raise the banner. It's gonna be great. You guys into it? Come on now. I'm sure Larry Bird will be there. The Chief.
Do you really think he will be?
Why not?
Why would he be?
He's one of the greatest Celtics of all time.
Okay, so they're just gonna get him. Celtics are like the Yankees and the Lakers. Like whenever you have a big night, you just bring
everyone
everybody
comes
back
on
in.
Back.
Will ML Carr be there?
ML should be there.
Will Jerry Sheesting be
there? Danny Ainge is actually running the Jazz, so he probably won't be there.
Okay.
Any old great, just come on down.
Come on down.
Come on,
any
guys.
Old great.
Duck boats banners
in
going
oh,
up.
This guy.
Duck boats in the.
I can think of a million places I'd rather be.
Now, with the NBA tipping off tonight.
Hold on. Watching paint dry.
The NBA season tipping off tonight. Let me ask you this question, guys. With the NBA season tipping off tonight, and TJ Jefferson having another NBA season full of hope, what is the more inevitable that has occurred? What is the more, the least surprising? Kawhi Leonard being out indefinitely for the Clippers, or the Sixers season starting without both Embiid and Paul George.
And they don't even play tonight. They play tomorrow.
Right, and they're already ruled out.
Already ruled
right. So,
they won't want people to travel.
What is the least surprising of what is inevitable? Chris Brockman.
Kawhi, I think, already being ruled out.
TJ?
I mean, you look at Kawhi,
this is
right?
your life we're talking about, your basketball
I
life.
I don't
like making fun of...
I'm not making fun.
I'm just saying everyone wants to crap on Kawhi online. The dude's obviously got a degenerative problem. It's kind of like arthritis. It's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
So, Kawhi Leonard has got the most out of his body and his physical ability. So, I think it might be it.
It might... It, You're answering my question. You just think it's it for him, period.
It could look, man, you can't, those knee problems. Like, I was watching the video. I wouldn't watch the video where a doctor was explaining kind of what it was like going on in a knee that had that type of, it's just like bone on bone. And I mean, it could be a wrap for him.
That would be particularly unfortunate, disappointing.
But it's funny. Like, I said, people on social media kind of forget how dope Kawhi Leonard was.
Yeah, two-time finals MVP. Before he got hurt last year, he was playing at the top of his game.
And if you remember with his time with the Spurs when he was trying to tell them something was wrong with his knee,
right,
and they weren't treating it, which led to him wanting to, everyone was like, why would he want to leave the Spurs? Because he didn't feel like he was getting treated properly. His knee was getting treated properly. Now you kind of
see. So why is Embiid out, man?
Embiid's the same thing. Like,
oh, boy. No Paul George either. You know who's going to be playing tonight?
You saw what happened to Paul George, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know. Lucky it wasn't worse. And Embiid has already said this year he's not going to play back-to-backs. So he's going to be ineligible, right? For
Which is why I didn't draft him last. You know, I wanted him, but I didn't pick him.
And you know who is going to be out there tonight in the ring ceremony night?
Yes.
Making his New York Knickerbocker debut.
Our buddy.
Rich Eisen show favorite. Karl Anthony Towns, a.k.a. TJ's trolling florist, Karl Anthony Towns. By the way, those flowers have truly, the one in the front is beginning to sag a little bit there. The white one, the lead white one for the Eagles bouquet. Yeah,
yeah. But it's been over a week for these bands.
Yeah, that's kind of, I'll say it's screwed. That's kind of like the Riley Cooper of the Eagles flowers right there.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
It's kind of, you know what I mean? It's kind of letting it down.
He had a few moments.
But hey, no, listen, guys, Karl Anthony Towns, Nick debut, not just for the New York Knickerbockers, but for TJ Jefferson's Rich Eisen Show fantasy basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
You drafted Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, Do you think like somewhere when he's walking around, wherever he is, whatever apartment he's got, either in Manhattan or Brooklyn or wherever he's living, do you think he just kind of like said, why do I suddenly have this strange feeling? Like, what? It's like an angel gets its wings. Was there like a little bell? You know, like an It's a Wonderful Life type moment for him? He's just, TJ Jefferson just drafted him. And do you want to tell everybody the name of your fantasy team? This literally made me laugh out loud when I saw it last night. Okay.
So it made me laugh out loud when it popped into my head. So
this is great.
One thing I did one year, which irked Rich, was he was like, after 2 hours, he's like, why don't you have a fantasy team name? I'm like, well, I'd like to look at my team and see who's on it and come up with an appropriate team name. And so because you annoyed me with it, every team name that year was TBD, a version of TBD.
Like, yes, indeed.
The Basketball Diaries, Thanksgiving Be Delicious, whatever.
Very funny. So, it was well done.
So I carried it on. That was out of spite, too, Chris, by the way. So I'm looking at my team name, and I just see I have Cat. And the first thing that pops into my mind is from a speech I heard a few weeks ago, they're eating the cats.
They're eating the cats. Is TJ's name.
I found a picture of Chris Farley.
Oh, that's right. Eating the cat in the sandwich.
Oh, the John Lovitz photo.
The John Lovitz photo.
John Lovitz photo. So that's my avatar, and my team name is They're Eating the Cats.
That's really well done.
TJ Jefferson, next level.
Well done. Well done.
Boy, does Xander really want me to name my team. Luca, what you made me do.
Yeah, that's my
avatar. That's your avatar right there.
What you made me do.
How has this not gone out there with the whole eating the cats thing over the last month?
It did when it first happened.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, this picture was everywhere.
Oh, my goodness gracious. The great Chris Farley. May he rest in peace. So that's tonight. You got the Timberwolves. So Cat would have been here.
Mm-hmm.
Had that. So Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle make their Minnesota debuts tonight.
The big ragu.
So many Knicks fans are like, oh, my God, I can't believe I missed Dante DiVincenzo. I'm like, he was there for a year. He was there for a year. Now, I understand Julius Randle. That one I get, because he was the first one who actually said, you know what, I'll go to New York when everybody was saying, I'm not going to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then he really became a star in the NBA using that platform. But Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby, right?
Mikal Bridges.
Bridges tonight. This is going to be fun.
Fun game.
Oh, Knicks want to ruin your party pal. They want to ruin the party.
Absolutely not.
What do you think of, and before we move on to overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, what do you think of Joe Mazzulla's approach a very sort of Kyle Shanahan approach when being asked about pressure and everything else. He's basically like, we're going to be dead. I'm going to be dead in 40 years. Yeah, wait, you're not invited to my funeral.
None of you are coming to my funeral.
None of you are coming to my funeral. These are just words. It's nothing physically harming to me. What do you think of that approach? Because you could take that approach to anything in life and everything in sports. It's like, yes, this is not life and death. It is sports.
Right.
But, you know, so, however, in terms of you winning and losing, his approach is like, we could all be dead sooner rather than later. You're not coming to my funeral anyway.
Yeah, Joe's that type of guy. He's kind of grown on me. In the beginning, you're just like, man, well, obviously the situation in which he was thrust to become the Celtics head coach is, you know, you wouldn't wish that on anybody. And obviously he was a little overwhelmed and kind of realizing what I got myself into here. Yeah. And then, you know, we saw it last year, really came into his own as a head coach. He's actually a really funny guy if you kind of just super dry and you kind of read through all this stuff, you know. But it works for them. It works for the stars on the team. Obviously, everybody's back. And, you could really feel like almost like the Steve Young Super Bowl where the monkey's off his back. It's really off the backs of these guys, especially for Brown and Tatum. And thank you to Steve Kerr for,
this guy. This guy.
Thrusting upon the league, the greatest revenge tour of all time that's about to happen.
Which is not taking Jaylen Brown to France to begin with.
Right.
And then not playing Jason Tatum when you took him to France.
Basically at all. Just Tatum got a free vacation to France.
There were three Celtics on the team. About that.
By the way, Holiday played a ton. You know, Derek White went instead of Jaylen Brown. Yeah, talk about manufacturing nonsense.
Yeah. Cool.
By the way,
it's like LeBradford Smith all over right now.
Just watch what happens this year.
Michael Jordan making up LeBradford Smith tales.
That's what it is.
Just watch. You
know? By the way, that's not a bad fantasy team name, manufacturing nonsense. Because that's what he's doing right now. My God. You didn't take one of our best players to play for Team USA, but you took another instead.
Right.
And then you played one of them, and the best one that we have, you didn't play him at all except for the first quarter of the gold medal game.
Oh, it wasn't a matchup fit. Oh, yeah. A top five player in the league and a 6'10 guy who does everything is a matchup fit. Isn't a matchup. Get out of here, Steve Kerr.
Game of them all.
He started.
Jason Tatum played in the first quarter.
Yeah, what about after that?
Oh, my God.
It's kind of like when his football team would always be like, no one believes in us after their sixth Super Bowl.
Tom Brady said that going off to the Super Bowl one year.
They were literally saying that about the Patriots that year.
I don't ever remember anybody saying that.
God, you guys, selective memory.
And now he's leading the charge of the Chiefs aren't all that.
He's leading
the charge.
Absolutely putting words into my mouth.
You did predict that they could start the season 0-4, and you were pretty high on that.
And they should have.
And now you're right now, one of the Overreaction Monday subjects in the podcast is Mahomes isn't even a top 10 quarterback.
He's not.
When that video came across my Reels feed yesterday, I just went.
I love it. By the way, shout out to whoever said this in the comments. I was perusing yesterday. Rich, you literally used stats to explain why Goff is MVP yesterday, and I literally used stats, and it was great take. Well done. Literally, I use stats to explain why Mahomes is not playing like a top 10 quarterback right now, and you're like, get out of here.
Because may I retort before we do Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday? May I retort, please?
Okay. Choosing when we care about numbers and stats.
I didn't just use stats as to why Goff is the MVP of the league.
Well, that was
my finger on the chess piece, and I've now removed it, saying Lamar is the MVP of the league through 7 weeks. Certainly after what we saw on Monday night, that yes, there are statistics that show what Goff is doing, but I also said the statistics of what he is doing is allowing a calmness to pervade an entire team because he doesn't miss a damn pass until the second quarter or the third quarter or in one game at all. And also on top of it, what he is doing in terms of personifying this city itself. I said all of that. And of course, statistics matter, but when it comes down to it, Mahomes' statistics aren't top 10, but what he is doing, snap to snap, down to down, playing situational football in the manner in which he's doing, is top 10 quarterback.
He's not passing the eye test. Come on.
Good enough. So you would win in a game. If you have you put a list of 10 quarterbacks down to win a football game right now.
To save your life.
To win a football game right now.
That's not the conversation.
That's not the metric.
So that is not the conversation that we're having.
Statistically? Is that what we're talking about?
This is just not playing like a top 10 quarterback right now. I don't know why it's such a big issue to say that.
But a top 10 statistical quarterback, he is not. a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League who does things that do not show up on the stat sheet, who gives your team a chance to win snap to snap, moment to moment. Situationally, he is a top 10 quarterback. When we have an argument of who's a top 10 quarterback or not, the way I view that argument is you make a list, and these 10 quarterbacks are the ones you would choose to run your team. And these are the 10 quarterbacks that you would not only choose to run your team, but at the most crucial moment.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, is he playing like a top 10 quarterback right now? And the answer is no. And it's okay to say that.
But
it doesn't mean I wouldn't take him to win the Super Bowl. It wouldn't mean he's not a great all-time great. It's right now he's not playing like a top 10 quarterback.
But a top 10 quarterback is what would win you a game, right?
That's not what we're talking about.
You're placing everything on stats. This particular stats.
He is not passing the eye test either.
Can you guess? And that's okay
to say that. I don't know why this is like heresy to say, oh, he's not playing like a top 10 quarterback right now.
He's not playing as well as we've ever seen him. That's for sure. He's playing.
This is literally the worst we've ever seen him play.
Statistically.
And eye test.
Eye test is 7-0.
You guys are crazy.
6-0.
Or 6-0, my bad.
I know the bye week's kind of messy.
7 next game. Like, what are we doing?
And that's fine. Yeah, they're 6-0.
I kind of feel like there's goalposts and they're moving back and forth right now, like the old Pong game, right? Like you move your paddle up and down.
I don't care about stats. I care about dubs. Get the win. That's what's important.
All right. It's Overreaction Monday can be seen on our YouTube channel and gotten wherever you get your podcasts. It's now time for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Chris.
On a Tuesday.
Oh, I do that all the time. What do you got over there, Chris?
Hey, everybody. Everybody good?
What up, man?
You guys good?
No, you're feeling good today, aren't you?
I'm a top 10 NFL commenter, so...
Oh, my God.
I don't know about that.
This Ravens season, guys, man, they look good, right?
Yes, they do.
Lamar looks great.
Yes.
Derrick Henry looks great.
Yes.
It's going to be a major disappointment if they don't make the Super Bowl.
Oh, I would think every Raven fan would say that's the case again. Yeah, sure. Okay. Right, but everyone will come back. Harbaugh will still be the HC. It'll be terribly disappointing, but they should make it this year. Certainly since you're saying Mahomes is not playing like a top 10 quarterback right now, and Lamar is the MVP of the league again the way he is playing. I mean, yeah. They just got to be a game better than the Chiefs. The Chiefs have a game and a half on, two games on them right now. A game and a half in the standings and that extra half of being the tiebreak, having beaten them already.
Well, they can prove they prove they can go into Arrowhead and hang and win a game.
That's true.
They can stand toe-to-toe.
The difference is, guys, 22 in the backfield. That is the difference. That's why if I'm a Ravens fan, I'm thinking this is the year, because it doesn't all have to be on Lamar. Last year, you kind of felt that. Certainly, Keaton Mitchell goes down. You're like, oh, damn, there goes our running game. Now
and
you've
Zay
got,
Flowers was a rookie last
dude,
year.
Exactly. Zay Flowers is definitely more of a grown-ass man right now. And Rashad Bateman is showing up.
Bateman showing
Mark
up,
Andrews and Isaiah Likely. You've got a better cast around him. I understand that. But last year, it was kind of like, is Lamar going to get us there? And this time around, you got 22 as his Robin to his Batman, and it is dynamite. And that's the way you can also win playoff games. Who wants to tackle this guy if it's 10 degrees? You're going to make the Chiefs or whomever make business decisions on a cold January night, February night. I don't think that's an overreaction to say that, because the Ravens are set up right now. Stay healthy, win some games. If you can somehow get the Ravens, the Chiefs into your house for another AFC championship game, that would be even better. But man, again, what the hell are the Cowboys thinking? Not getting this guy, and we'll talk about that
literally
later.
Everybody could have got.
I mean,
understood.
You say Cowboys, but
the Cowboys,
the Packers, Rich, they could. They wanted Josh Jacobs.
They got Josh Jacobs, though. Okay, I mean, that's no slouch.
He's not Derrick Henry, though.
What else, Chris?
Derrick Henry looks great. Terrible on the other side of the ball. What happened to the Bucs? Mike Evans goes down, hamstring. Obviously, Chris Godwin at the end of the game. Bucs need to call the Jets about either Mike Williams or Garrett Wilson. ASAP.
Garrett Wilson's not
going
anywhere.
Their division.
I don't understand this whole Garrett Wilson. Oh, we got Devontae Adams at age
30.
Great. They can keep calling, and then Joe Douglas is probably hanging up on him. Mike Williams, who wants him? Get it. understand. Garrett Wilson, are you out of your mind? The reason to get Davante Adams at age 31 going on 32 and figure out how long Rodgers wants to play still and keep those guys together and try and win a Super Bowl there is to teach this kid what it is like to be in a system that Rodgers runs and to be a professional route runner. If that's what he does need help with, come on, man.
Maybe he's not vibing with Rodgers.
Guess what? There's a Rodgers vibe whisperer in the building that's going to the Hall of Fame with Rodgers. Get out of here. Calling for Wilson. You can hope. You can try, but that ain't happening. But yeah, the Bucks need to call the Jets about Williams. So do the Chiefs. Who else? Start naming anybody that needs wide receivers.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp might be available.
I can't imagine that one. That one's nutty. But let's move on. Okay. What else?
All right. Okay.
The Williams is not an overreaction. Garrett Wilson's a total overreaction.
Okay. It's been how long since the Chargers scored a touchdown?
15 straight drives.
15 straight drives, man.
You think the Chargers should ask for Mike Williams back?
Yeah, they probably could use him. What is troubling is that Justin Herbert is being wasted in Jim Harbaugh's offense.
That's an overreaction. They're just getting started, man. They're just getting started. Come on. What's Harbaugh's track record with quarterback? Alex Smith.
Not anyone like this kid.
Colin Kaepernick. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
They'll figure it out.
Interesting.
The offensive line up front is going to protect them. The run game is going to be good. I'm not worried about this. Wasted. God, how old is he? 25, 26? Come on now.
I don't know. I'm pretty worried.
Get out of here.
I'm pretty worried.
I am not.
You know, your tight end that no one's ever heard of is getting leading the team in targets.
You want to talk about his 2024 getting wasted right now in this offense? I understand, but it's an interesting topic after he threw for 349 yards without Quentin Johnston in the game. It's week six for them. Week seven overall, 4-3. Everybody just take a beat. What else, Chris? That's a classic overreaction.
Justin Herbert, 26.
Classic overreaction.
All right, I'm back.
Okay, what do you got?
I might be back with this one, too.
Okay.
This really hurts me to say because I love them as a player. I enjoyed them on the staff under Bill, and you know their defense was so good last year.
Oh, Gerard Mayo slagging here. What do we got?
Patriots made a mistake hiring Gerard Mayo.
Now, let me flip this on you. Do you really believe this?
Or
this is an interesting subject matter to be discussed.
A little bit.
I think it's still too soon. The business of calling his team soft out loud.
I don't love that at all. And the more I think about it, and like obviously Bill has a little bit of an agenda when he says all this stuff on.
But he's also a pundit with 50 years of coaching
experience.
That's what I mean.
Exactly.
And so, put together this team.
And to hear Bill talk about it and just like. They're not soft, man. They literally led the league in rush defense last year, and it's like, the same group of guys who's back.
Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Like, Bill Belichick basically said
he really did.
Look in the mirror as a response to Gerard Mayo calling the defense that he assembled, that was the run stout defense last year. He basically told Gerard Mayo, "Look in the mirror."
Yeah, and I know Steve Belichick's not there anymore, obviously with Washington, and it's like. But, man, I really have been thinking about that the last couple of days. And it's like, dude, come on, man. You can't do that. You can't call your players out like that in the media.
Well, I got to tell you, over the weekend, because, you know, I'm on the email exchange with Susie and Amy and Don Bowie, our podcast coordinating producer for What the Football. That did not sit well with Amy Trask either. She saw that. She's like, whoa. So I know they're going to talk about that later on when the football comes out.
Because it's just like,
that really
hit me.
And again, for him to say that in Jet Week, and if there's anybody who has had a grand old time being successful at taking a Jets team that's reeling and make them completely drive themselves into a ditch, it was Bill Belichick. So. It's interesting that to call them soft, and we'll see what they do with the Jets. Man, I'm with you. We're still too soon. I think you know that deep down.
It's a little too soon, but I just keep having the images of Mike Vrabel on the other side. I'm just like how great he would have looked.
So do Ohio State fans.
Man, it's just.
What else you got, Chris?
One. All right, a couple more. I'm looking at the NFC West, and it's just not as good as I think we thought going into the year. I'm going to say the Seahawks are going to be the only NFC West playoff team.
I think that's an overreaction right now. Again, like I told you, the 49ers, let's see what happens. I know Ayuk's now out for the year.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Debo's in the hospital.
It's pneumonia.
Like, what?
What is going on there? Yeah. And let's get McCaffrey back after the bye. Let's see what's going on there. And don't sleep on the Rams. They're not trading Cooper Kupp, pal. And then Puka's going to come back. And then the Rams at 2-4, they've already beaten the 49ers as well at home. The Rams have got a big game on Thursday night against the Minnesota Vikings. If they can win that one, and then they go up to Seattle, and then they've got Miami at home on a Monday night before they visit New England, and have got Philadelphia here in Los Angeles on a Sunday night. Don't sleep on the Rams. That Kyren Williams is just dynamite.
Touchdown
Nine straight
machine.
Games with a touchdown on the ground.
I didn't like how they let the Raiders hang around for a little bit. They really could have.
But because they're not fully equipped to start, you know, closing doors on people they did when their championship season was. True. But it's still in there. So this is an overreaction. You got one more?
Right. I think we need one more.
Okay.
All right, we'll get one more.
Can you believe it? Oh, baby. Like I said, you guys are more than welcome to come over for the banner raising and the ring ceremony tonight.
Gosh.
Celtics are going to win 70 games.
Oh, God.
First team to repeat
since
2018.
Okay.
Oh, baby.
And
it's on.
And scene.
How?
Okay, thank you. And
I want to clip this.
Take the music
save
down.
Save it for later.
Can't get to break faster.
Let's fast forward to June.
Can't get to break
get
faster.
Get the duck boats ready, people.
Who have they really beaten?
Yeah, who have they beaten?
Yeah, who
literally
they really beat?
Everyone.
Who do they really beat? Everybody got hurt right in front of them.
Literally
the rest
everyone.
Of the Eastern Conference started getting hurt. Every player. Jalen Brunson, who never gets hurt, got hurt. Honestly.
Literally beat everyone.
Okay, and the Mavericks were limping their way into the finals.
16-3 in the playoffs.
Sounds great. You beat nobody.
Best finals in a decade. All right, good. Cool. Good talk.
What's
guys.
More of an overreaction, 70 or me saying that the Celtics beat nobody? All right, let's take a break.
We're going to have a great day today.
Thank you very much. We were until that nonsense.
You go home now.
Manufacturing nonsense. That was the headline of that last segment. Jerry Jones is latest coming up.
Talk is Jericho with me, Chris Jericho, goes deep and gets personal with your favorite pro wrestlers, including MJF, Jon Moxley, Adam Copeland, Will Ospreay, Timeless Tony Storm, even Stone Cold Steve Austin. Listen to and follow Talk is Jericho on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Do it now, says the Learning Tree. Thanks, guys.
Every week, Michael Rosenbaum is getting deep with someone new on the Inside of You podcast, actor James Marsters.
Are you somewhat content? Do you still stress a lot?
If anything, I feel guilty that I have it so good. If you make the decision to be an actor, the deal is poverty. I don't understand. How did I get here? You know? And the answer, how did I get here, is really one audition one day for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, wherever you listen.
For you personally, you have an embarrassment of riches. You've got a beautiful family, a beautiful stadium. You're the guardian of the star. You've got a bust. You've got a Hall of Fame ring. You got a jacket. What you don't have is a fourth Lombardi trophy. How bad do you want it, Jerry Jones? How badly do you want this?
Well, Rich, like you said, you've been around for two decades now.
Yes.
And you haven't seen us raise that trophy. I did ask the man upstairs when I got the third one. I said, if you'll give me this one, I'll never ask again. Well, I'm asking. I'm trying to retrade that deal. And to the extent that he's listening to us, and I'm sure he is, I will do better. I've got some things that I could offer you to get that trophy. On the other hand, you know, that's why we're here. That's why I'm involved. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say and relate us to financial, but I was fortunate, lucky, and I had some resources, and I used it all to buy the Dallas Cowboys, every bit of it to buy the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm excited for this season. And on behalf of everyone in NFL Network, greatly appreciate your support for our network, for all from Jump Street to now, and then just for me personally, I want to thank you. I truly appreciate it.
Rich, I've watched you handle Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders.
Yes.
Anybody that can keep them in their place deserves to be the star of the network.
Jerry, I really appreciate that. That means a ton. Best to your family, and good luck over this for the season. We appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
You got it.
Thank
you, Rich. You got it. Right back at you. Thank you. That's Jerry Jones here. All on our YouTube channel, people. Okay, folks, back here on our radio show, 105.3 The Fan was white hot to the touch last week when Jerry Jones balked at some of the questioning, valid questioning, about his off-season maneuvers and whether that is something that has now come home to roost for a Cowboys team that's coming off of a bye, all banged up at 3-3 entering week 8. In San Francisco against an equally banged up 49ers team. And this is the time, if the Niners can get got, the Cowboys can get them. And so Jerry did not like some of the questioning about his offseason maneuvers.
Have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
Well, and then I know it's funny and all that, definitely was not funny when he basically seemed to threaten the jobs of the guys who were interviewing him. Because this is the Dallas Cowboys flagship station, and I imagine one quick phone call to the bosses of these folks to say, I'm not talking to these guys. See? Find me some more people if you want me to keep calling in your station, or Stephen Jones or Mike McCarthy to keep calling in to your station, or when are our rights deals up, all that sort of stuff. I'm not saying that's what did happen, but that was the implication of those calls could be made. So that's why there was a big deal about it. And Jerry Jones returned today and was wondering why there was such a big deal about it.
I don't have anything to say about last week. I'm happy, though, that I'm surprised that last week got the attention it got. I'm tickled to death that we have as much interest in this as we do, and as you well know. But, guys, I have no issue, and you know that. As a matter of fact, you've said that. I have no issue with getting up in front of a bunch of media and people of journalism and asking the question and answering, getting questions and answering.
Okay, so then let's cut to today. And again, that's what these regular radio or TV appearances cut both ways. I mean, right now, I am seeing a smiling Aaron Rodgers on with our friend Pat right now, and 2-5. If they go 2-6 after losing to New England, I mean, how many times are you going to go ahead and keep zooming in? I guess I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter. Who knows? Remember Big Ben kept on doing his radio show?
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, hey, man, every single time he goes on the radio show, he's saying something that gives us cause to talk about it when it's a subject matter you don't want discussed on shows like these 24/7, 365, coast to coast. But you even pointed out, hey, Jerry Jones has that spell my name right approach, as long as you're talking about us, you know?
Apparently, that's... I wish I would hear from him as much as we hear from Arthur Blank, which is never. Or as much as we hear from the Roonies, which is never, or from, you know, name any other team owner who you never hear from, which is 29 out of 32. Really?
I got to be honest with you, though. I used to feel that way about George Steinbrenner.
But for this business, I understand we need it.
And up until this year, I was yearning for senior.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So be careful what you wish for sometimes. But all that said, there is something new to talk about from Jerry's appearance. And it's him 100% calling out Mike McCarthy, as well as bringing up the whole Derrick Henry thing again himself.
In my mind, we're not playing very good football right now at all. And it's beyond whether or not we have Derrick Henry or not. Derrick Henry is having a career year. I don't know if he'd be having that career year in our situation. And that's really something you really do have to look at, because if he had not had as many carries as our running backs have had, then he certainly probably wouldn't have attained the level of impact he's having. And then he's a real good complement to the type of offense they run. We don't run that type of offense at all. Our situation is more about, frankly, it's more about holding your blocks. It's more about not making mistakes. It's more about, in my mind, the receivers running through a tough man-to-man coverage and running on through it. And, if you will, get away from that. The types of things that we all think we should be looking at is, well, we're designing bad plays or we're designing bad concepts. The facts are that there's some of that, but there's also some of execution. There's some of the talent. I like our talent. I really do like our talent. I like our young talent, but young talent has a few more mistakes associated with it than if you are dealing with a veteran player. Although you've got to have young talent, as I've said. Derrick Henry didn't fit because principally of managing the cap, in anticipation of the players that we were going to sign weeks later, or anticipation of the players we're going to be signing in the future.
Okay. I do love Jerry Jones.
Wow,
without him, NFL Network does not exist. So I have to say that as the preamble here. You signed Dak and CD and everybody else a little earlier. It would help you manage the cap to fit in somebody like Derrick Henry, who I think would fit any offense, including the one that's currently being run in Dallas. And the reason why the running backs don't have the same amount of runs as maybe Derrick Henry would have is because they're not nearly as effective as Derrick Henry would be in this offense. That's why he would have more runs in your offense than the current running backs do, is because he's better than the running backs that you decided to go in the season with. And maybe instead of going into the season with all these young guys, you actually supplement them with veterans like, say, Derrick Henry.
Can I give you one?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like that may be the approach.
It could be, or you could have said, look, oh yeah, we didn't spend this money on Derrick Henry, but we did sign them early. This is what we did instead of getting Derrick Henry. We added this to our line, or we added this to our defense. We have nothing, none of that to stand on right
now.
Well,
and it's not just that too. He just basically said the play concepts are off. You know,
yeah,
I mean, who's coming up with the play concepts? The play concepts are the head coach, because he's the play caller. And that was part and parcel of everything else going on. He's the play caller. I don't think he would fire Mike McCarthy in the middle of the season. I simply do not. That is just absolutely not his style, but neither is it going out and saying what he just said about the coach. That's kind of new, man. That's kind of new right there. And that one kind of surprised me. That's what they say is in the business, the quiet part out loud.
Right.
Right there. For Jerry to say that is an outlier. But honestly, though, you know, he didn't fit into the cap because we had to sign these other players. Well, it could have fit under the cap if you'd signed the players cheaper earlier, which is what we're kind of always saying. You could actually manage the cap better if you signed them sooner. You get in there so the cap can be massaged, so someone like Derrick Henry is working out in your town. Now, yeah, the offense is run by Lamar Jackson, and that might help out Derrick Henry, but you just paid your quarterback $60 million a year because he's kind of good too, right? He might not run as much as Lamar anymore. But man, it's just like all over the map. They need a win. Certainly against the Niners team that's banged up. They need to come off this bye and come off the ball and go up to San Francisco and say, we're done with all of this stuff, and make it less than what we're seeing. Because right now, it is all over the map. I mean, completely all over the map right now. That kind of didn't make much sense, you know? Because I think what I picked up is that they're, you know, Henry wouldn't be as successful in their offense because they're not running as much, and Derek's getting a ball more in Baltimore. Well, he would be getting the ball all the time with you, too. And again, that's the point. When he was out there, it's like, this is the guy. This is the guy starting the side of your helmet. You like people being talked about in Dallas? You like Dallas being talked about? Well, bring Derrick Henry there, man. He comes downhill with bad intentions in a way that who else does in your organization? Nobody.
Nobody.
You know what I mean? Like, he comes downhill with bad intentions. And he takes the pressure off of Dak. And if he's coming downhill with bad intentions, you know what might be open more? 88. You know what would look better? The run, the passing concepts. All right. I think I've made my point here. Lots to talk about.
Jeez.
But the Niners don't have Brandon Ayuk. And right now, Debo's in a hospital, for crying out loud. Ricky Pearsall and the rest of those offensive players that run in the routes, if Juwan Jennings doesn't come back, you want to talk about young players needing to start stepping up and starting to grow up fast. The Niners make the Cowboys look like a bunch of vets. So this is it. You got to go into San Francisco and start making hay, because the owner sounds itchy, more itchy than I've ever heard him.
Bingo.
All right, Bill, we're recording now. And please put your phone on silent.
Oh, where is my phone?
Let's go, man. Okay. Get it together over there, player. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
I wouldn't say that to my son.
Just go.
All right, why would people want to listen to the Sims Complete podcast?
A father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football.
We do a lot of quarterback and coach talks. It's fun. I love doing this. It's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out on the Believe Network. Appreciate it.
Just search Believe, B-L-E-A-V, wherever you listen.